It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live, the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I do want to grab one call here and talking about what we were just talking about prison rules and that Brian Koberger murderer, loser, sociopath who got his sentence yesterday and the victims who were talking to him and him sitting there, and we got into some prison rules and things like that as he pled guilty to avoid the death penalty. And some people would think that the death penalty may be better than the situation he's going to be in. I will be throwing you a NFL rumor after we get into this that I want to see how dialed in you may be with this particular thing.
All righty.
Because someone in this business said it's a worst-kept secret, something about to happen. Well, next year it would happen. But first, I want to go to David, who's in upstate New York. What's going on, David?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
So, yeah, I worked, been retired 4 years, but I worked in the New York State prison system for 25. And in this day and age, he's going to get everything he wants on the face of this earth, from tablets to you name it. You can't touch these guys anymore. It's almost impossible.
Yeah, I mean, that's not what I had heard. I was reading some stuff, and I don't know if you saw some of these same conditions that they were assuming he was going to be in, Boomer, but didn't they say he was going to be in a room for 23 hours a day?
Yeah, it looked like, well, the prison that they were suspecting that he was going to be sent to, I think, is in Idaho, and it's a 23-hour solitary confinement in an 8x10 room with a toilet. And then he's let out for about an hour a day. If he wants to sit down in the in an area, they have to cuff him to the seats. And then, of course, yeah, if he does get an iPad, they put him in, like, what looked to me like a cage that you would put a dog in.
And so a lot of that is kind of true, what you're saying. It is kind of true. But, well, especially this state because of all the libtards, unfortunately, they can get whatever they want. They have fought and won in all these liberal courts, and it's probably going to happen in the state this idiot is in, where, oh, we can't have him in that cell for 23 hours. He needs to come out more, and they will give him more and more. His first 2 years, he'll be admin seg, it's what it's called. No one's going to go near him. But eventually, his lawyers will fight to get him in general pop. That's when he'll finally get a target on his back.
Yeah, well, the one thing I will say, if I were him, I would tell my lawyer, don't fight to get me into Gen Pop. That's the last place I want to be.
Yeah, I mean, this is like everywhere you turn. Thanks, David. Everywhere you turn, it's a terrible answer, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
there's for him, and rightfully so, his life is over.
Right. It's either you die via lethal injection, you're in solitary confinement for 23 out of 24 hours, or you get released and have more free time into Gen Pop where the rest of the prisoners are going to kill you. I mean, that's a tough multiple choice right there.
Yeah, I think he's right about being protected, though, because that area where they're supposedly going to put him, it doesn't look like there's going to be too many people that are around him. But I would imagine that the guards aren't going to be overly kind to him, regardless of the liberal policies or anything else. I don't necessarily know that they, for this kind of action, nobody's going to feel sorry for this guy. Nobody's going to be fighting for this guy. It's over.
Yeah. I was going to ask David, but I forgot. I wonder if he was in the same prison that prison guard, you know, took off with the inmate. The inmate convinced the prison guard he was in love with her upstate.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, it's terrible because I'm laughing at it, but I'm laughing at it because...
It's a crazy story, but it's a true story.
Yeah, she ended up dying in the... In the car, in the chase, people weren't sure exactly how. They would say either she, you know, took her own life or ended up, I don't know, the airbag killed her or something. I don't know. Anyway, there's your prison talk for the day. All right, so I'm going to throw this at you. And I am, you know, I understand how this business works. Trust me, I'm no dummy.
Does this have to do with Kirk Cousins?
It does not, no.
Okay.
I know.
Worst kept secret.
It's a talk show host, likes to stir things up. I don't normally take the bait, but I wanted to see how plausible this scenario would be and get your take on it. So Colin Cowherd said that Arch Manning and Nick Saban teaming up with the Browns next season is the worst kept secret, and another potential place they could both land is New Orleans.
How do you feel about that? It sounds like you're choking on your own skin.
Yeah, I don't. I know that there were. I did read probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago where some people within the sphere of Nick Saban said he was not done coaching.
Mm-hmm.
But man, why would he put himself through that?
Well, because he would have the quarterback.
You know, that's assuming that, okay, the Browns are going to have the. All right, you have to assume that the Browns are going to have the first overall pick, that Arch Manning is going to come out, and that Nick Saban's taking that job.
All right, so if the Browns or the New Orleans Saints have the number one overall pick, you're going to know that right when the season ends. So then you get Black Monday.
But we'll also know how Arch Manning did at Texas this year.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all assuming they're going undefeated and he's going to throw for 10,000 yards.
Well, I mean, you don't need to do that to be the number one overall pick. I mean, you see some of these guys, the seasons that, I mean, look at Trey Lance, for God's sakes.
But I tell you, but a totally different set of circumstances. And I do believe Eli Manning when he told me that he advised his nephew to enjoy college for as long as you can and get the most out of it. I believe that.
Okay, but I also could see it be plausible where they're saying, hey, New Orleans, your grandpa, Nick Saban wants to coach again.
Yeah, but when I see that you have guys like Jackson Dart, Brock Purdy, Dylan Gabriel playing all these games in college, and maybe they moved around, maybe they played for multiple teams, but still, they played a lot of games in college. They're a little bit older, they're more mature, and they're ready to go. I think Arch Manning is, you know, maybe he's not mentally mature enough yet, and that he wants to, you know, have 2 years at Texas.
Okay.
And play more games, because the more he plays, much like both of his uncles, the better he'll be when he gets to the NFL.
All right, so I think you're getting hung up on the timing of the whole thing. Whenever he comes out, he should be it. Let's just assume he is the number one overall pick.
If you told me in 3 years that that's a possibility, I would say, okay, I could see that. But
in 3 years. But I mean, how old is Nick Saban going to be in 3 years?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't see that happening, given the fact that I would like to think that Arch is having a great time at Texas. I mean, hopefully everything goes well for him.
Yeah, I mean, you can have a great time in other places, too.
But you know, what we have learned about guys like Trey Lance, who played 17 games through, you know, COVID or whatever, you know, it doesn't usually work out for guys like that. You know, they need to play football at a high college level and play a lot of it. You know, remember when Phillip Rivers came into the NFL that year? I think he played like 52 college games at NC State.
Hmm.
I think I played maybe 33 or 34 games, but I was, you know, a fifth year senior.
Yeah.
I wasn't a 20-year-old kid.
Sam Darnold didn't play a lot of games.
That's right.
Zach Wilson didn't play a lot of games.
And, you know, by the way, look at Baker Mayfield. Look at Jalen Hurts. They had to move around a little bit. They were around different, you know, types of coaches and different systems and everything else. And then all of a sudden, they're both successful quarterbacks. And Jalen Hurts is a Super Bowl winner, for God's sake.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be, I believe in the way that things are going. And you've pointed this out many times, that the New Orleans Saints are going to be completely punting this season, hoping that they get the number one overall pick. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, but
They've done nothing at the quarterback position.
Well, Tyler Shuck, they drafted him.
Okay.
And right now he's projected to be their starter, which could be a disaster.
100%. So, I mean, we've got Arch Manning potentially coming out in the NFL, New Orleans, the whole deal.
I mean, I love
that's
going to
happen. That's going to happen.
The romantic nature of that, and then you got Kellen Moore down there as an offensive, head coach, that kind of thing.
Well, Nick Saban will come kick him out.
Yeah. Again, you know, I'm not saying that it's a good thought that Colin has. I'm not going to debate and argue that whole thing. That's his opinion. My opinion is I think that, you know, Arch is going to spend at least 2 years at Texas as the starting quarterback. And, you know, he's already made enough money. I mean, he's going to make money doing that.
Yeah, Colin also said that Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns' circle of trust, includes prominent agent Jimmy Sexton.
Oh, God.
Who represents...
Yeah, and how's that going?
Represents Nick
Saban. Just unveiled a helmet that looks like poop. Dude wipes. I mean, come on. That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, I mean, that ownership group's got to be one of the worst in sports, yes?
I feel bad for guys like Kevin Stefanski because they work their ass off. They're good coaches. Just like, you know, Brian Daboll's a really good coach. He didn't forget how to coach. He didn't forget how to call game, you know, plays in games. They just don't have the players. They don't have the right mix. Or maybe they will this year. We'll see. But he hasn't had that since he's been here. And Kevin Stefanski, they've been drafting at the top of the draft for how long?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's...
And then they add Shedeur Sanders in the middle of all this.
Right. Who, I mean, I don't think anybody expects to be on this team once the season starts. There's no way.
I mean, Shedeur should have gone... I don't... Look, he's there, whatever. But it's the Browns.
Huh. Yep.
And they drafted a quarterback ahead of him in the draft. They bring in Joe Flacco, and they have Kenny Pickett there.
I mean, that situation is just a... I mean, what the Saints, definitely the worst quarterback situation, not far behind the Cleveland Browns.
What the Browns should have done is they should have traded Myles Garrett. They should have traded Myles Garrett. They should have gotten a boatload for him. And you're right, punt the season. Maybe, and then draft next year's top quarterback or the year after that, maybe. But I don't know what they're doing.
No, I don't think, and they'll never get out of their own way. We talked about Caleb Williams and going to the Bears and never had a 4,000-yard passer in their history, and now he wanted to get to Minnesota instead. I mean, and that's the Bears, which is a franchise that certainly has struggled and struggled with the quarterback position, but it's an iconic franchise. It's got a rich history, and he's saying that about that franchise. I mean, what would he be saying if the Browns had the number one overall pick?
Yeah, I don't know what he would have said, but, you know, the one thing I will say is that Ryan Poles got it right. You know, he now hires Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson basically knows that this is a quarterback-driven league, and hopefully Ben Johnson will connect with Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams can now start taking ownership of being the leader of the team.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to. I mean, last year, with some of the stuff that was coming out of there, just didn't look good for him or the previous coaching staff.
Coaches got fired there, and, you know, when you start drafting rookie quarterbacks and playing them, you're going to get fired. You know, unless you're Dan Quinn and you start with Jaden Daniels, or you're D'Amico Ryans and you start with C.J. Stroud. Those guys outplayed the expectations that you would have for a rookie, and those two coaches were very, very lucky to be able to get those two players.
Yep. And we'll see who the next lucky one is. Maybe it's the Giants and Jackson Dart and Brian Daboll, the combination that could take them back to glory. So we were asked, you know, if there's a couple of people that we want to talk to when we go to Giants camp. And I definitely, you throw Jameis on that list, right? You got to request Jameis, 100%. You throw Russell on that just to see if you can crack through Mr. Unlimited. Probably can't, but it'd be fun to try, right?
Yeah.
Fun to try that. Sexy Dexy, Dexter Lawrence, he's a character. He's great. A lot of respect for him. Got to throw him on there.
Got to throw him on there, yep.
Malik Nabers. Good personality, great rookie season.
Yep.
All the potential in the world. Superstar in the making.
Got to throw him on there.
Got to throw him on there. Obviously, the GM and the coach, that's a given, even though, I mean, you know, those guys are better than your average interview in training camp for GMs and coaches. They'll give you a little something.
Listen, let me
a little
tell you
ball
something.
Boston.
You know, Brian Daboll knows exactly what he's in the middle of. He's not dope.
I didn't say, well, what?
But no, what I'm saying is, like, he doesn't have to, you know, give you coach speak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's at the point now where it's all or nothing. They're either winning or they're not.
Yeah. I mean, this is the...
And it's, he's got
ass in the jackpot spot.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I do give the team credit for trying to stabilize the franchise. They're trying to.
See, I disagree with that because when you're John Mara, and I reference this a lot, when you're at, you know, after the season, you go, I know this is an unpopular decision, and I better be a hell of a lot happier now, this time next year, than I am right now. That's not actually making things stable.
Well, to me, keeping the coach and the GM after, you know, what had happened the last...
And saying this is your last chance?
Well, not. I don't know necessarily. He didn't say that. He said last year with their 100th season, he expected to be a lot better than the year before.
No, he said, I better be standing here next year at this time a hell of a lot happier than I am right now. That means this is your last shot.
But again, you know, he could have pulled the trigger and started over again, and I'm glad he didn't do that. I'm glad he let Joe Shane have another draft.
Yeah, I am too, because I do like those guys. But I just didn't like the, you know, here's the guillotine hanging over your head. You don't have to say that. Everybody knows that already. They got to perform. It's just, there's just no, you're not going to get another year unless you win a bunch of games, like get to 7 wins, or you're losing and Jackson Dart gets in there and shows you something. That's really the only 2 ways that you're keeping your job.
You know, or Russell Wilson, you know, does what he did last year.
Well, that's what I said. You win a bunch of games.
Yeah,
I
mean, gets the team somehow to the playoffs, and maybe at 9-8. But
that's a little much. I think 7 wins. I mean, if that happened,
I look at their roster, and I think their defense is going to be better. I think their offensive line, if you said it yesterday, if Andrew Thomas is healthy, they should be better. They should be able to run the ball. And the one thing about Russell, you know, he doesn't turn the ball over. He plays a little bit careful, but he does not turn the ball over. But he does throw a very good deep ball, which I'm sure Malik Nabers is going to be under a lot of those.
Oh, yes.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Jerry,
yeah. Boomer.
How's the PRP going?
Good, actually. Why?
Just wondering.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
PRP injections in my head.
Oh, yeah. I was told about that. Yes.
GreatMany.com. That's where I went the other day.
Where's that now?
It's called Great Many.
Great Many.
That's the name of the company, yes.
So you didn't want to go to...
No, I don't want to go to Turkey, but I don't mind going to Lower Manhattan.
You can do this here.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather go to Turkey than
Lower
Manhattan.
I thought it was fantastic, actually.
It was fantastic.
Yes. And I'm not saying that just because I went. It was easy.
Well, you're doing it. Let me see your head.
It takes time. I just went 2 days ago.
And
hairy
balls.
No.
I don't want to see what it looks like. Let me take a picture of it.
No, you're not taking
right
a
now.
Picture. Get out of here. Not happening.
Bend your head.
You bend something over. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Come on, Jerry.
No.
By the way, I was told that it's not necessarily like grow hair back.
No.
It's to keep what you have.
Correct. I'm doing... Get out of here.
Let me just take a picture. All right, I got it.
Derek Jeter.
Who you picked up?
Elitist Derek Jeter.
Jeets.
Yeah, Jeets. You picked up Jeets.
That's funny.
All right, I got your head.
Yes, it is to stop the thinning. I'm not looking for hair regrowth. I'd like to just keep what I have.
Is that a good picture?
Not really, no.
No, that's not a good picture.
No.
Well, then let me just take a good picture then.
Why? I'll take a picture of the top of your head.
I'm not getting PRP injections.
We can compare scalps.
I'm not getting PRP injections.
Okay.
All right, Jerry, I'm sorry.
I will have before and after photos for you that were taken there professionally.
Yeah. So just let them have that.
As opposed to...
How many injections do you have to get?
You go 3 times.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow.
You go 3 times in the core every 5 weeks you go.
You stick the needle right in your head?
Yeah, they're tiny, though. You don't even feel it.
Like a little pinch?
Yes. A little bit of... But it's
like a little tingle?
I would say the first couple you feel a little pinch, but like that's it. And then it was nothing, honestly.
How far away was it?
It was I don't think it was more than 10 blocks.
Oh, okay. That's
why didn't you tell us you were doing this?
I don't know. What are you doing that you don't tell us? I don't know. I'm going to start reading the commercials next week.
I'm saying, but you're here. Oh, God, Jesus.
Why? How do you want that to come up exactly?
And by the way, just so you know,
the Yankees have won 5 in a row. Oh, by the way, guys, I'm going for PRP blood spinning.
I mean, you don't have to tell us here. I mean, you could have told us, like, out there.
We don't talk out there.
I talk to you out there.
I talk to you out there.
Boomer doesn't.
No, you don't.
Well, you always have your headsets on.
Because I'm editing sound. I just spent 30 minutes trying to understand the Cam Newton, Ryan Clark deal.
Oh, God.
These guys fighting.
And honestly, I'm not playing it because I still don't understand it.
Ryan Clark fights with everybody, including me.
But that's why my headsets are on. I'm constantly working out
there. He's an angry young man.
Who is? Ryan Clark?
I guess so.
No,
I don't think in this case he was, though.
I don't understand it. But by the way, how did you find out that he's doing PRP if he didn't tell you?
Scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt told
you? I got scuttlebutt
yesterday.
Ironically
enough. So the salesman is Rick Rubin.
Yeah.
So I was here yesterday for 13 hours.
Oh, the Kay Adams. I forgot to go pull the audio. You were with Kay Adams yesterday.
I saw a couple of clips. Not worth it.
Oh. He said that. Don't look at me.
I mean, do you really care about how much Joe Burrow plays in the preseason? Now, the people who are watching up in Adams do because they're from Cincinnati.
Hold
for
on.
Us.
They asked me about Justin Fields. Asked me about Jackson Dart.
You got to watch the whole thing to get the fun stuff. Mm. That's what I mean. I meant to go back and watch it. Not just the clips. Maybe she flirted with him.
Yeah.
Maybe she had something to say about you.
No, I would have found out.
But I don't know until I watch it.
Or maybe you defended Gio about the boob grab thing.
No.
Wish you would have brought that up.
Begrudgingly, she always mentions Boomer and Gio in the morning.
Yeah, I know. She definitely
And she's very nice about promoting every different thing. And she really knows. She's got her hand, her finger on the pulse of the
league. Her hand on my boobs. Oh,
God.
Here we go again.
Ago. Very nice.
Come on, not that long ago. Arizona.
By the way, so I got scuttlebutt for being here 13 hours.
Oh, that's fine. So Rick Rubin is the sales guy, and he came in a couple of months. This was right after the turkey thing.
Of course.
I wanted no part of going to turkey.
Yes.
He comes in. He asks me about it. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, but let's not discuss this around Boomer because of the turkey thing. 3 seconds later, Boomer walks in, and he goes, so, Jared, what do you think about the haircut, the hair thing? I'm like, dude. Right in front of him. So that's the sales guy.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so my guess is he probably told you about it.
No, it wasn't him.
It was not him.
Okay. It's got a butt all over the place about this particular thing you're doing.
Cool. I didn't get this scuttlebutt. That's crazy. You got the scuttlebutt.
Yeah, well, again, like I was here for 13 hours.
Yeah, no, I get
that's
it.
Why.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing, too, is I am very, very happy to report that we are going to Pebble Beach.
Oh, yes.
That is happening.
Boys are going on a little 3-day vacay.
That is happening.
Yes.
And Jerry's wearing the swag today from our friends at Scratch who are making this happen. Rob from Scratch was in here yesterday detailing the whole plan. It all came up. We were talking about Frank Reich and the Stanford job and going out to see him. And then if we go out there, we got to play Pebble Beach. And it just turned into, screw Frank, let's play Pebble Beach.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's the way it's going to work.
Well, we may have time to see him Sunday if you wanted to, but probably not. But this is going to be awesome.
We'll be out there early enough on that Sunday to do whatever we'd like to do.
Yeah.
I'm pretty jacked about this.
Couldn't he be part of one of the foursomes or no?
No, he's coaching.
Yeah.
He's coaching.
Got practice
so,
every day.
So, you, me and Gio, hiking and all that little stuff. Shopping stuff that you like to do. You'd be walking around Carmel, loving your life, looking for coffee shops and beer pubs and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, you're not far off.
I like the way you put that.
Yeah. I tell you, Carmel reminds me of like East Hampton. Have you ever been to East Hampton?
No, but I've been to Carmel. Believe it or not. Yeah, when we went for Super Bowl, I guess I went out there one day.
Oh, you did? Okay, when we were Super Bowl 50.
Yes.
Yes, okay, yeah.
Yeah, very this bougie. Is... I was watching some.
You fit right in.
I was watching some Pebble Beach content yesterday. Guys playing there, just looking at it again, getting even more excited. I mean, Jerry's never played it, right?
No.
I obviously have never played it. No. And it could be a once in a lifetime.
Yes,
correct.
Yeah,
and you're going to get to play Spanish Bay, too.
Yes.
Which is also an awesome golf course.
Yeah. It's hard to believe, actually, that we're going. It's very cool. Just because of how quick this.
Believe what? I could have had you in Turkey getting your head fixed.
It's. Okay. I mean, this was not an insult to you at all. It's hard to believe that we get to do something this cool and it came together quick.
To Montana, I could have had him on safari.
Yes, you could have, but we're all not you.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying we could have gotten it done.
Yeah, I suppose. But
and then you went and did your PRP thing, which I can't wait to see if it works. And how long? How do we know?
How will you? Here's how you'll know. Nothing will change.
Right.
I am not interested in hair regrowth. I'm interested in keeping my hair the way it is and healthy and have it stop thinning.
And that's what's going on. Might get a little thicker, too, I was told.
Yes, that is true.
You're going to get thicker hair?
Yeah, I'm not going to start growing hair here. Nothing like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
See, I talked to Rick Rubin about this whole thing, but, he was telling me about it. But I did not know when it was happening with you.
Yeah, I went. Where'd I go? I went Tuesday.
Nice.
I think he's so into it, he wants to do it now.
Really?
Yes.
Rick Rubin.
I will tell you, the experience from the one day was pretty eye-opening. Just the way they do things. It was very cool.
Yeah. I would want him to put PRP in all parts of me,
Yes. I asked about, can I get it in the back?
Mm.
And she said, in some cases, you can. I don't know if it would help me, but yeah.
Yeah, well, you better get that back ready for Pebble Beach, I'll tell you that much.
I'm fine.
Well, that's what Kirk Cousins did. He goes down to Antigua to get it done.
Why? Because it's not legal in
somehow,
the States?
Yeah, I don't know. He was talking about how they could harvest your
organs?
Blood here, send it there, and then you go down there, and then they'll inject it for you. I don't know. I don't know what he was talking about.
Is organ harvesting a thing?
Unfortunately, yes.
Why did I think that? Like, maybe because I was watching Squid Game?
You've heard it on the news.
Oh, okay. Because when you said harvest your, the first thing that went in my head was organs.
Ooh.
And I don't know where that
why
came
not
from.
Crops?
I don't know. That's why
that's
I'm asking you.
Good question.
That's why I'm like, why is my brain going to harvesting organs?
You probably heard it somewhere.
I think it's Squid Game is what it was. The show Squid Game.
Okay.
Because then they it's on Netflix, and they play these games, and if you don't win, you die, and then they take the bodies and they harvest the organs. I think that's where it came from. Pretty intense show, you know?
Sounds like it.
I have not watched it. I've seen it.
I
have not watched it. I've seen it. What does that mean?
Because I've seen trailers for it. I'm aware of the show, but I haven't watched it.
Okay.
One person who could never watch this is Eddie. It is the single most violent program I've ever watched in my life, hands down.
Violent than Kill Bill?
Yes. It's the
can't
most.
Be.
No.
Inglourious Bastards?
Yeah, it is.
Quentin Tarantino's crazy movies?
It is.
Yeah.
Trust me. It is. Because it's South Korean. So they just go for it.
Ooh.
They don't have the same.
There's no filter?
It doesn't seem like it, no.
Well, there's no filter in Kill Bill.
Okay, you can believe me or not. It's okay. I've seen it. I've seen them both. Very argumentative today. What do you think we take tomorrow off, Terry? Because Boomer's such a pain in the ass. Why don't we just do that?
I'm just getting ready for Phil tomorrow.
Okay, sounds like it.
Feel good football Friday, baby.
All right, what's going on, Jerry?
Oh, man. Yankees-Blue Jays is going on as the Yankees lose another series to Toronto.
And he got a double. Here's a drive to left. Going back on the track, and it is gone. Oh, man, a blowout in progress.
It certainly seemed like that. Dave Sims, the call here on The Fan, and this report brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. 8-4 would be the final score. That was Bo Bichette with the home run that capped the scoring to make it 8-4 in the seventh inning. This was a mess of a game for the Yankees. They committed 4 errors on the night. You had Max Fried on the mound, 2 wild pitches in the same inning, then a throwing error leading to a couple of runs. You had errors in this game by Ben Rice, Jason Dominguez, Jazz Chisholm Jr. It was not good. That having been said, we do need a Thrivewell player of the game, and we found one, brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion. He's had a tough season. So since he hit a game-tying home run, I will give it to Anthony Volpe.
Okay, nice.
ERA of 2.5 at home this year does come in.
Here's a high fly ball, left field. It backs up Snyder on the track. It keeps going. It keeps going. It's gone. Anthony Volpe leaves the yard, ties it at 2-2.
Yeah, so we thought maybe it'd be a good night. That was our Yankees thriving player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThrivewellInfusion.com. He homered, as did Aaron Judge in this game. Was not enough. Also got a home run from Jason Dominguez. Here was Judge. So the team not playing well in Toronto again. Are they pressing?
Had a long playoff run last year. We've been in big moments, big situations. So everybody in this room is battle tested. You know, even all the young guys, veteran guys we got here, you know, playing some big games, big moments. So, you know, we never feel like anything's getting tight in here.
And although it does seem like it if you are watching them on a daily basis. They trail the Blue Jays now by 4 games atop the AL East. They will be home for the Phillies over the weekend starting tomorrow. As for the Mets, you got the home run from Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor's bat waking up a bit.
2-1. Line to left field. There's another base hit for Lindor, and it brings in another run. Turenz scores from third. Nimmo up to second. Lindor makes it 6-1.
Had a couple of RBI singles. Keith Rad, Mets Odyssey Radio, part of a 6-3 Mets win. Brandon Nimmo got him off to a good start with a solo home run in the first inning. Alonso, the 3-run shot, and Sean Manaea was solid, I would say, through 5. Here was Alonso talking about his buddy Lindor battling through.
He's putting together good at-bats, but obviously sometimes the balls don't fall your way or pitchers get the best of you.
Well, last night or yesterday afternoon, he got the best of them. Here was Manaea on his outing. He knows it wasn't great, but he got through.
I would say that's pretty accurate. Yeah, I mean, I definitely didn't feel, like, great out there, but good enough to get the job done.
Yes, get the job done as they complete the sweep and head out to San Francisco for a weekend series that begins tomorrow when their plane landed. They had a half-game lead atop the NL East because the Phillies did lose to the Red Sox in 11-9-8. Bryce Harper, career home run number 350. Giants beat the Braves 9-3. Also, the Dodgers over the Twins 4-3. Shohei Ohtani homered in his 5th straight game. And the Rockies shut out the Cardinals 6-0. Notable, because they have not done that in a very long time. I think it was sometime like April of 2024, I think, was their last shutout. So 220-something games they had gone without a shutout win. They did get it yesterday. This was their acting manager, Warren Schaefer, who seemed unaware.
Did not know that, but that is, that's a long time without a shutout. 220 games without a shutout?
Yeah, that's a very long time. More than a full baseball season for them, and they've had a miserable season. The Giants camp, we heard from Russell Wilson. I heard you talking about potential guests next week. Here was Wilson talking about Malik Nabers. Certainly seems like he loves the kid.
A lot of times you get talented guys, and, you know, their work ethic is super high, but, you know, can they keep it consistent? That's what you're always looking for. And I think his consistency and his love for the game, his consistency in his playmaking, his tenacity for the game, his leadership, his thought process, communication. He's not shy. He's great in the meetings.
I mean, all of it. He's fantastic. Here was Nabers asked how he dealt with it. This guy's a winner, usually. And last year, we know how bad the season was. So how did he deal with it?
I mean, losing is part of the game. I mean, you're going to... That's failure with the championships that have been won. That's failure with the greats. So, I mean, you always got to take a step backwards in life sometimes to move forward. So that's, I mean, that was just my step back.
How about that? It's a very mature answer, I would say.
Yeah, but I mean, it also, if you rewind to last season after one of the games, where he was chewing that gum and he's like, I don't know, it's coach.
All right, well, he's matured in the offseason.
Yeah.
In Pittsburgh, Jalen Ramsey with the Steelers asked if he would make a position change and go to safety rather than play cornerback.
I just want to play football. I don't care where I'm at, corner, safety, slot. But at the same time, I don't think I'm getting paid what I'm getting paid to not be in a position to affect the game and be a... be in certain spots. So I'll just say that.
Well, and just I'm going to make sure I make every meeting. I'm going to be on time. I'm going to practice. Everything's going to be good, as opposed to taking advantage of, you know, Mike McDaniels down there in Miami.
Yeah. Well, Mike Tomlin is his coach. In terms of the offense, they now have a new quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, as we know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so he was asked if Rodgers will be up to speed, being he wasn't around for all the mini camps and most of the summer.
He's a workaholic. I don't have a whole lot of reservations about that. I think he's hardened himself over the course of his career with his attitude toward work.
His attitude towards work.
And he's back, man. That is awesome.
He is back. And then here's your guy, J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. We know he's the starting quarterback of the Vikings. How's it going into camp?
I feel different just because, you know, it's a different situation being year two, knowing the offense a lot better than I did when I first came in here, and knowing the guys and how they move and, you know, how they react to certain, you know, coaching points and just little, you know, things that go along with day-to-day, you know, practice and meetings. And yeah, it's a definitely a different feeling and a really good one. A
couple years in,
what a winner.
Like a vet. Yeah. That's not
sounds
what you
like a champion
them.
To me, man.
That is not what you
I don't
call
know
them.
About you guys.
I am going to try and figure out this Ryan Clark, Cam Newton stuff.
Yeah.
Because Newton's response and the way he went after him and Dan Orlovsky is interesting. So if I can, but I got to figure it out because I'm all confused by the whole thing.
I mean, there's so many beefs with Ryan Clark.
Yeah, I know.
Ryan Clark, RG3.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. That was a big one a couple weeks ago.
You got Shaq and RG3 too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was others, that, but I mean, yeah.
Were you at all, and I'm not playing it because it's a, and we dealt with this for years, were you at all intrigued by the Kyrie Irving comments about Kevin Durant?
I didn't see him.
Oh, you didn't see him? Okay.
No.
All right, never mind then.
Well, maybe I'll look at him now.
No, it was just about their time there and comments that Durant had made about wanting Kyrie there. They wanted to do it together, and it was picking Steve Nash as a head coach. It was interesting, a little back and forth, but I also figure we're kind of Kyrie'd out.
Nash. Picking Steve Nash, shanking the other coach, then shanking Steve Nash. I mean, it was just a shank fest.
In the meantime, Durant's onto his seventh team.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
It was a shank fest, man. Man.
Oof. James Harden comes in and he shanks everybody.
That was a bad move.
That was crazy. Was in the middle of COVID and everything else.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You know what? I decided everything in life has to even out. We don't have a lot of big issues, but I just feel like when one really good thing happens, like something else has to happen, you know, and not like bad. I'm not talking major, major
it's
events and deaths and things,
yeah.
You know, but like, I don't know. You find out that maybe you hit like a $500 on a scratch-off ticket. Then later in the day, you get in a fender bender. You know, something like that.
Exactly.
You know,
And I had one of those experiences yesterday. I was just detailing to Eddie and Al and Jerry.
For every reaction or for every action, there's an opposite reaction. Equal reaction.
Yeah. And I don't believe in these cosmic things and stuff like that, but I'm starting to believe in golf gods a little too much. Like, when things are going too well for you, whether you're on the course or off the course, it humbles you. Don't you dare get too comfortable.
When we tee off at Pebble Beach, you'll be walking on a little slice of heaven. And it will feel that way when you're out there.
Yeah.
And so whatever golf god is telling you right now, just let it dissipate.
Yeah, you know, of course, because the Pebble Beach thing is that was the good part of yesterday.
And that outweighs the other one.
It certainly does. It's not to get into all the details, it's just the communication aspect that really bothered me. And
people
got to
button things up, man, you know, loose ends.
One of the dinners at Pebble might cover this.
It's a good point. That is a good point. I am so excited for this. And Scratch is such a professional operation. And Rob came in here with an itinerary. We got this, this, and this. And then I got to be honest, I was a little worried because we initially talked about this as a team. Everybody was going. And, like, I was no way we could do this and not bring Eddie and Al because those are guys that we talked about this. So I was waiting for them to say something like, if they're not golfing, I don't know what, you know. And they didn't. They were like, it's awesome that you guys are coming because we could showcase the non-golfer in your life. And I was like, oh.
Right, as you said, me and Al are your wives in this sense.
Right, exactly. they're playing the role of our wives. Like, you guys have fun, and I'm going to do the other cool stuff that's out here. I'm going to shop. I'll meet you for dinner later.
You have to go spa.
Yeah, right. I'll go to the spa. I'll take a hike. I'll go into town.
Look,
you guys
facial,
do the
Al.
Right. But it really kind of, I mean, it kind of showcases that, and that's what, you know, Scratch wants to do, what Pebble wants to do. And
yeah, they want to show that there's more than just golf. And certainly the lodge is amazing. The Spanish Bay Inn is amazing. The halfway house is amazing. Where you eat is amazing. The golf for us will be the most important thing, but everything else around it is like five stars.
Yeah,
there's plenty for the non-golfers.
Yes, right, exactly. You guys will be filming all that stuff, and you guys will be able to showcase that. I did really well with, you know, letting things go and enjoying what was happening at Bethpage when we got a chance to play in June. I told myself, even if you're having the worst day, just take this in. You're getting to play the Ryder Cup course in this condition a couple months before the Ryder Cup on Long Island. Don't worry about it. Just have a great day. And I did. So I got to make sure that happens at Pebble too. Just take it in. If you top a ball, okay, fine. You go and you grab it and you keep playing. Like, it just, where you are, I just have to let every little bit of it soak in. I mean, I've just been, you know, I've been watching everything. I watched the Jack Nicklaus Sam Snead match, the Shells World of Golf from like 1960 something.
Holy Christ!
I was watching that.
Jesus. Pebbles.
Well, what? I thought you loved that.
No, I mean, and then you're going a little overtime. I mean, just a little over.
Why? Well, here's. But hold on.
Okay. All right.
I am new to the game as compared to other golfers.
Mm-hmm.
So my curve in learning is started, you know, I understood Pebble Beach. I watched Tiger 2000, Pebble Beach. I have these memories, but not like from a golfer standpoint.
Yeah, just from a sports fan standpoint.
Right.
Like, you didn't understand, or you don't understand the history of golf in this country and what that,
I'm learning,
that area means to golf.
Yes. Well, yes. As I understood it because of, you know, the Tiger Woods video game and the Tiger Woods out there 2000 in that way, and just hearing it and understanding how beautiful it is, never from a golfer standpoint. So now what I'm doing is I'm going back and I'm making sure I have every little bit of the information and the history to prepare myself and respect and honor this place that should be respected and honored.
Perfect.
That's what I thought. That's why I thought you'd love this.
No, I know you're all in. I know. I wasn't expecting you to go home and watch old, you know, YouTube videos of Pebble Beach, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's what I was doing a lot of yesterday. Well, it was old ones and then newer ones.
Yeah.
Too. You know, just to get a lay of the land, you know. The way that those guys putted back in the day was bizarre. I'm going to do that, I think, when I'm out there. Just one couple putts because I can't get any worse at it. I'm just going to do like the Jack Nicklaus, like get down to the ground, put my knees together. You know,
right.
Start doing that.
Wasn't it insane the way they used to putt? And these were great at it.
They were great at it, and I think that's one of the reasons why Jack Nicklaus, when he does a golf course, he makes the greens have quite a few undulations in it, because he can handle it. The rest of us can't.
Right. Yeah, I mean, greatest putter of all time, yes. Yeah. Hirsch in Valley Stream, long time no talk. What's going on, Hirsch?
Gio, you're going to love this story. You're going to love it. Yeah. I just heard you talking about the $500 scratch off and the $500 car accident.
Yeah.
10 years ago or so, a buddy of mine booked me on a comedy show to do 10 minutes at a 55 and over place. And I said, that's not my comedy. The PTA moms like my stuff, you know, not the 55 and over. He's like, nah, they're just 55, 56. They're in your age range. So I go. It's about people who are about 85. It's the cast of Cocoon, basically, in the audience, okay? I go up there. I do 10 minutes. If these people could have ripped my body limb from limb, they could have. They hated everything I said. It was the worst set I've done in 15 years of stand-up, okay?
Yeah.
I drive home. I'm heading back to do a set at Governor's in Levittown near my house. I'm on Wantoy Avenue, and I'm so focused on how horrible I did that I blow through a red light. Okay, I get to Governor's. I'm thinking, maybe the camera didn't catch me. A week later, I get a $50 ticket plus a $30 service charge. $80, gone, just like that.
Yeah, so $80 for the gig, $80 ticket, life evened it out.
Yeah. Easy come, easy go. It was all I should have said no in the first place. I had no business doing comedy in front of 80-year-old people who didn't like this little curmudgeon talking about his wife oppressing him and his kids beating him up, literally. Nothing like that. They hated it. The people were so miserable, and that's what I got. I got $80, and then I did a set of Governor's, was a volunteer spot, so I wound up making nothing on the night, and that was easy come, easy go story for you.
Yeah, perfect, Hirsch, yes. And, man, I tell you, that comedy grinding at those levels is, you got to really be dedicated.
Yes.
To do that type of stuff. Oof. 55 and over for $80. Go to Governor's for free just to get your name out there. Yeah, I mean, you gotta go all in, and you gotta love it.
Yeah, it's a great story for you. No one cares.
Wasn't nice.